So if you have your Bible, grab a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, grab one back there in the back. Come join us in the pink seats, ladies. Thank you. Come on over. And there's lots of seats. I saved you a seat even right up front here. I'll just take it. Thank you. So everybody in the nice comfy seats over here, grab a Bible if you don't have it. We'll be in Mark chapter 10. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, Mark chapter 10, around verse 15. If you want to go ahead and turn there, that's where we'll spend most of our time this morning. So every 4 years or so, and we're already looking forward to it already, especially with the time trials in Omaha, right? But every 4 years or so, the world becomes obsessed with the Olympics, right? Okay? So for two solid weeks, the world just goes crazy. They tune in to Olympic sports and to who's going to win the gold and to what it looks like. And they're obsessed with the Olympics for those 2 weeks. And it's the only time in world history, the only time in the world that everyone cares about random sports like handball, right? Synchronized swimming, random stuff like that, right? Where you're anxiously watching to see who will win race walking. And the gold medal with race walking, right? So can you go ahead and flip me over there, Aaron, to the... Oh, let me click through it. Okay, and we just get all excited about that time of year, about the Olympics, and we want to watch it. But it's an incredible thing. And I love that stuff too, right? Like, I love watching a good underdog story, right? To hear the person who came from nothing succeed and be the best of the best for that moment in time, right? And it's always fun to watch those and to grow up to see them succeed in that way, right? Okay, and we all have dreams. We all have stuff that we dream about that maybe someday that's me. Maybe someday I will be the best at what I grow up to do. And we strive for that. We desire that, to be the best, to do what it takes to be the best. So full disclosure, I'll bare my soul here before you. In a very real way. When I was younger than all you, I had a desire to be a professional magician. Like, I wanted to do magic tricks for a living. Quit snickering. It's not funny. It's real. Okay, so, like, I wanted to do that. So I had a box of magic tricks that I would do. I would go to the Emporium in Wichita, where you could buy magic tricks, and it was really cool. And you do all these tricks, and I wanted to be a magician. Like, I thought it would be so cool to be like the street magician and just walk up to somebody and be like, hey, what's going on? Poof, right? And it's like, that'd be so awesome. And so I wanted to be this magician. But there's a couple things that I learned along the way about myself, and of course about being a magician, that made it less of a dream for me. Number one, I quickly learned that I could never figure out how to saw somebody in half. Like, that's just, I couldn't figure out how to do the big cool tricks. I mean, I could saw you in half. If we had any volunteers, I could show you. But, so like, yes, I can saw somebody in half, but like, not, it was more of the putting them back together was the hard part. And so I could never figure that out. I could never figure out the cool stuff. So that was my first trouble in becoming a professional magician. Second trouble was that I didn't have the time and the energy and the dedication to practice over and over and over and over to do the little things that it takes to fool someone, to trick someone with a bunch of different tricks like that. I mean, as it turns out, it's really actually hard to trick somebody. Like, it's hard to do that over and over and not do it once and then mess it up. And they're like, oh, see, I see how you did it. And then you feel like an idiot and you walk away feeling like a moron, because you can't do it. It takes lots and lots of practice. And I didn't have that time. I didn't have that dedication to do that, to become what it takes to be a good magician. And so we all have dreams. Maybe your dream isn't becoming a magician. Like, maybe that's not you. And that's okay. But we all have things that we want to be great at, to do something that matters. Like, some of us may not even care what it is. We just want to do something that truly matters, something that's important, to become someone important. And so we all have our own dreams. I mean, some of us want to be a movie star or a model or something like that, right? To write stuff like that, or to be a talented guitar player or singer-songwriter or whatever, or to be an athlete. Like, some of us may not want to be, like, maybe not NFL or maybe not, but just to be a varsity starter. And that's what we want to be. That's who we want to be. Because then we feel like we'd be somebody. Some of us want to absolutely dominate in video games, right? just completely annihilate everyone in video games. And maybe it's not just like but maybe you want to design video games, create video games, test video games in the future. The new system you want to make and create the PS17, right? The PlayStation 17 in the future, and that's what you want to do. Or again, a great writer or leader or president someday. I mean, you want to be somebody who matters. You want to find something that you want to do for your life that truly matters, that contributes. We want to make our mark on this world. Because most of the time, we feel like that what we're doing right now doesn't matter, right? Most of the time, we feel like what we're doing right now doesn't matter. That where we live doesn't matter. I mean, it's Bellevue, right? Who cares? It's Omaha. It's Papillion. It doesn't matter. We feel like where we're going to school doesn't matter. The classes we're taking doesn't matter. We feel like what we're doing right now doesn't matter. But we want it to. And so we ask ourselves the question, what matters most? And then you ask yourself, why? What matters most to me, and then why? Because it's important how you came up with that answer. So today, we're going to talk about a guy who took a look at his life and he asked, am I doing what really matters? Am I doing what really matters? Do I have everything I need to live a life that leaves a mark, that makes an impact? Am I doing what really matters? And he had the great opportunity. He didn't just think about it. He didn't just go, oh, it's a new year. Am I doing what really matters? Oh, okay, maybe. And then move on. Like, he was so consumed with this. He wanted to know the answer to this so bad, he took it to Jesus himself. He took it to Jesus himself. He walked up to Jesus. He had that opportunity. And he asked him that very question. He asked him, am what I doing really matters? And his answer changed his life forever, changed his perspective forever. It turned his life upside down. Because this was a guy in Jesus' day who thought he had it all. He was rich, he was powerful, he was accomplished, he was respected. In other words, he mattered. He already mattered. He already had an impact in that community to everybody. He was on top of it all. He had it all. He was the nice guy in town. He had all the money. He had everything he wanted. And one day he ran into Jesus, and so he asked him this question. And the answer that Jesus gave him changed his life. And changed exactly who he is. So we're going to look at that. But Jesus changed his life not through amazing miracles. Jesus didn't change him and like touch him and suddenly he was healed or anything like that. Jesus said a few simple words to him and it rocked this guy's world. And so Mark chapter 10, around verse 15, it says this. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? The young ruler, this young guy, asks about eternal life. And in that moment, we see a man who has everything that he wants. He has everything. And so, in other words, he asks Jesus, I have everything else in life. I just want to make sure that I have eternal life covered too. I've done this life right. Now I just want to make sure I have eternal life forever and ever covered as well. So are things okay between me and you, Jesus? Are we cool? Is this all right with you? But Jesus looks past the question and gets right to the young man's heart. And he says this. Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. But teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. So this guy sounds like a classic overachiever, right? He sounds like that guy who turns in his homework projects early, right? He's that kid in class, right? That 3 days after the teacher gives a semester-long project, he's already got it done. And you're like, really? Seriously? Okay, he's already turned it in. He sounds like that guy. He's an overachiever. He does it all. And he's not saying this. He's not saying, I kept all these commandments, God. Like, like he's proud. Like he's like, yeah, look what I've done. I've kept all these commandments. He's just stating the fact. I think he really has. I think he really had done those things. He's just saying, well, yeah, I've done all that. Yeah, I've strived to be that person since childhood. And he says, yeah, that's me. And so basically he's asking, does this matter? Does my life matter? Is what I've done here enough for you, Jesus? Is this what really matters? Am I good enough? And Jesus drops a bomb on him. Jesus looked at him. He loved him. And he said, one thing you lack. I mean, I'm sure this caught the rich young ruler off guard. Lack? Wait a second. Lack? Like, again, he's that type of guy that he's probably a perfectionist in some way. You know the type where if just one thing's off, I mean, it just devastates them, right? I mean, if he gets an A minus instead of an A, just crushes his world, right? I mean, he's a perfectionist that if it's just off just a little bit, he loses his mind until it's right. Okay, he's that type of guy, or seems to be. And so then here's Jesus, and he says, there's one thing you lack. Can you just see him going, oh, what is it? Like, tell me what it is. Like, what are you talking about? I lack. I've done everything. My whole life. Like, this just wasn't like a little hobby that he picked up a few weeks ago. I mean, he's been following these commandments and doing these things, doing it right for his entire life. And now he's finding out there's something he missed. Lack. What do you mean, lack? He's probably thinking, I know plenty of people who lack lots of stuff. I mean, I got lots of friends who lack a lot. I mean, as much as I help them, there's just no helping them, Jesus. They lack stuff. But me, I lack something? And so Jesus continues. And Jesus says, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man fell. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus tells the man who has everything to sell everything. I mean, but wouldn't that just leave him lacking even more? I mean, he worked so hard to obtain all this, and then now he's just going to lack even more by getting rid of everything? It doesn't make sense. But Jesus wasn't after the rich man's money. Jesus wasn't after his money. He wasn't trying to make a point that money is evil. Jesus is not saying money is bad, get rid of money. That wasn't his point. Jesus was after this man's heart. Jesus was after his heart. Jesus wanted to be the number one thing that mattered in the rich young ruler's heart. At the time, Jesus saw that money was number one in his life, not Jesus. And Jesus is saying money is a terrible number one. He's saying money isn't number one. It makes a bad number one in your life. It can't do it. It can't be everything. It can't be the best. So Jesus is saying the one thing that you lack is me, is Jesus. The one thing you lack is me. Jesus knew that this guy's definition of what mattered was way off. Yes, he was a good guy, but what mattered the most was way off. He was looking at money and status as being known as the best at everything, as being the most important thing in his life. And he lacked that. And so Jesus is saying, what I want you to want the most is me. Jesus wants to be what we want. Jesus wants to be our number one thing. He's coming after our heart. The gospel there tells us that the man left sad, which makes sense. I mean, he had lived his whole life chasing after all of these things, chasing after things like money to be his number one, and Jesus tells him that doesn't matter. What matters is me. Jesus wants to be what we want. He wants to be the thing that fills us at a greater level, at a deeper level than anything else. And that was a change that the rich young ruler just couldn't make. He just couldn't be that. Jesus wants to be what we want. And so the rich young ruler walked away disappointed. He walked away with a sense of loss. But we don't have to do that today. Because the story applies to us today. Because the same thing is true for us. Any number one will fail us except for Jesus. Anything that is number one in our lives will fail us except for Jesus. Think about it. We just left the holiday season, right? Last time I saw you guys, we were all excited about Christmas. It was just a few days away. We're like, oh, it's finally Christmas break. School's out. I don't know what we're going to... I mean, maybe you got what you wanted. Maybe you didn't. At least you got to sleep in a little bit, hopefully, right? You got to rest. We were all so excited about Christmas. We were all looking forward to it. And now look at you guys, right? Maybe you got what you wanted. Maybe you didn't. You've already played it out, right? I mean, maybe you already got, you know, 187 hours of video games in. I mean, whatever. You've played with that stuff. It's already lost its luster. The newness is already gone. The excitement of the break is already gone. And now look at you guys. I say school starts in a couple days, and you guys are like, ugh, right? Okay? Okay, you guys are already looking forward to your next day off, right? When's your next four-day school week? Okay, Martin Luther King Day, just a few weeks away, right? You're already like, yes, okay? You're already looking forward to spring break, right? Okay, you're already looking forward to when school's out at the end of May. Okay, why is that? We're in this cycle, right, of it's never enough. We think it'll be enough, but it won't be enough. I mean, it may make you happy for a little while, but it won't be enough. It is like drinking sand in a desert. You will always be thirsty. This world is not enough. Because it wasn't created to be enough. You weren't created to just want more stuff. You were created to want Jesus. And to make Him your number one. And so anything else will fail you. And so think about it. That boyfriend will fail you at some point. He may be a great guy. Maybe you've met him. Maybe you haven't met him yet. But that boyfriend that you're looking forward to, that marriage you're looking for, I mean, whatever it is, he may be a great Christian guy. At some point, he will fail you because he's human. That girl, at some point, she will fail you, guys. At some point, everyone will fail. If you're an athlete, at some point, your knee may give out. If you're smart, at some point, you may not know the answer. At some point, you may not be beautiful. Everything will fail you except for Jesus. He will not fail you. And so that's why pursuing Him and a relationship with Him is the most important thing you can do. So many of you guys, we get to, especially this time of year, the beginning of the new year. And it's a new year. And you're like, okay, I'm going to stop doing this stuff. I'm going to start doing this stuff. Okay, it's a good time to start doing this. It's a good time, yes, to get into a relationship with Jesus. But so often, so many students, and maybe you've done this before, you've been coming here your whole life, and you walk into this room, and you just want to know. You come here coming every week going, Jesus, what do you want me to do? Jesus, just tell me where you want me to go. Tell me who you want me to date. Tell me where you want me to serve. Jesus, what do you want me to do? And we're at a loss for words. And you just wait. You sit in these chairs every week saying, God, what do you want me to do? And Jesus has already told you He wants you to make Him number one. He wants you to want Him more than anything. He's already told you. Now go and do. But instead we come in here and we go, God, what do you want me to do? Okay, I don't really know what that means. So I guess I'll go home and play PlayStation and try to meet a guy and do some more tweeting and Snapchatting and whatever until you tell me what to do, God. And He's going, I've already told you what to do. Make me number one. And so many of us come in here and we hear that every single week and we walk away like the rich young ruler. Going, really? That's it? Make you number one? So much more fun just to do whatever I want. And we walk away like the rich young ruler. Going, nah, that's all right. I'll try something else for a little while. Because everything else will fail you except for Jesus. So here's the thing. These last few moments, I'm going to give you two things to start this new year, to start making Jesus number one in your life. Maybe He already is. For many of you, He is. Maybe He's not. Maybe you don't know where to start and what that looks like. And so rather than just walking away saying, yeah, I want Jesus to be number one, but I don't know what that looks like. I don't know where to start. Here's where you start. And so here's two things. two simple things to begin to make Jesus number one in your life. This is what it looks like here in 2016. Number one, spend time with God. I've said this so many times before. I'll say it many more times because it's no secret. It's not a secret formula. You don't have to stand on your head. It's just spend time with God. I mean, think about it. If you guys want to learn to play the guitar here in 2016, if that's something you wanted to do, what are you going to do? You're going to spend time with the guitar, right? You're going to find one. You're going to pick one up. And you're going to spend time with the guitar. You're going to watch YouTube videos on the guitar. You're going to learn about the guitar. You're going to learn C chord, D chord. Like, you're going to spend time with the guitar. If you want to draw closer to God, if you want to make Jesus number one, the first step is to spend time with Him. It's not rocket science, but again, yet so many of us walk away like the rich young ruler going, And we don't. And then we wonder why we're still thirsty, why we're still desiring, why those things that are number one in our lives still fail us. Because they were never meant to be number one, only Jesus was. So spend time with God. That's the number one. And number two, spend time with people who pursue God as well. Okay, I don't believe that there's anything better that can help pull you closer to God quicker than other people within your inner circle who point you to Jesus. Who can help you in your Bible study? Who can help encourage you when you're down? Who can help speak truth into your life when there's something else that's number one in your life that shouldn't be? Now again, that's not saying that you don't have good Christian friends. You do. Or that you don't have non-Christian friends. You do. I mean, still have non-Christian friends. Share the gospel with them. But that inner circle needs to be pointing you to Jesus, not dragging you away from Him. So it matters who you hang around. And so spend time around people who also make Jesus number one. That's it. Those are the two things. Spend time with God and spend time with other people who spend time with God. So as we wrap up here, you may feel like, again, where you're at just doesn't matter. This stage of life, you're just trying to get through. That you can't really make an impact in your school because you're just a face in the crowd of some 3,000, 2,000 people, and you're just coming and going, just getting your certificate, just getting your diploma. You're tired of seeing the same faces every year, and you're just ready to move on. That feels like it doesn't matter. But you can live for something that really matters. Even now, you can live for something that really matters. And it can start this week as you start school again, as you start this year again. And it starts with these two simple things. Because Jesus wants to be what you want more than anything. That doesn't mean that you don't want a tasty steak for lunch. I do. I'm hungry. Okay? That doesn't mean that you don't want to get good grades. But what should matter more than anything is Jesus. Of all the things in this life that you could live for, pursuing Jesus is the best. Other number ones don't matter. The kind of number one that Jesus is. Other things don't matter. Trust me, students, you're not going to get to age 70, 80, 90, hopefully beyond. And if you live your life for Jesus, you're not going to get to the end of it and go, man, I wish I would have made my sports career my number one instead of Jesus. Like, you're not going to get on your deathbed and go, man, I wish I would have had just another couple million dollars. I mean, not 5 or 6 million, but just a couple million more. Like, you're not going to get to the end of your life and wish that. You're going to get to the end of your life and you're going to wish, I wish I would have done something that mattered. The only thing that matters is following and pursuing Jesus with your whole life. That's what matters. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we do first things first, God. Such an easy thing to get animated about, such an easy thing to get excited about, God, because it's so true. And if we are each honest with ourselves, we would see that, God, that the world lies to us every single day, that we can make anything and everything we want number one in our lives and it not affect us and not change us, that we can do that, God. But we can't. We weren't created for that. We're created to pursue you. So it's not about how much money we have. It's not about how much talent we have, God. It's about taking that money. It's about taking that talent. It's about taking that, that smarts, those smarts, those education, whatever you've gifted us with, taking that and making much of your name, of doing it to the best of our ability and giving you all the glory and credit, God. It's about understanding that whether we have a lot or we have a little, that if we have you, then we have everything we could ever want and hope. Help us all to grasp that, God, because you know that I've put so many things in front of you, that I've made so many other things number one, God. And that's when my life falls apart. When my life seems to be slipping away, then I look up and I realize that you're not number one anymore, God. So help us all to make you number one. Help us to want you more in this coming year and the years after that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.